I just want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. Welcome those that have joined us online, live. My name is Pastor Rob. I am the lead pastor of this church. I want to encourage you to get your Bibles open. Let's turn to the book of Acts. We were there last week, but we're in Acts chapter 8. And there's a story in there. You're going to see a little subheading in your book when you get there. It says Simon the Sorcerer. I don't know your interactions with that kind of stuff, like magic or sorcery. But my son Emmanuel and I, we got the opportunity to go and watch a live magic show. It's amazing what somebody can do with the sleight of hands. You know, some bunnies are coming out, all kind of weird stuff. Or you go to a Cirque du Soleil show and you can see what somebody does with their bodies. And you're like, whoa, that just, it feels like it hurts watching them contort their body in certain ways. So we think about Simon the Sorcerer. Like, I don't know what kind of sorcery he did. I don't know what kind of magic that he did, but he really captured people's attention. I'm sure he sold a lot of tickets and made a lot of money off this thing. But we're going to pick up the story here in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to just kind of learn something through that. It's not a parable that Jesus is telling. It's an actual true story because there's real names in there. So there's about three sections in Acts chapter 8. So there's Simon the sorcerer, Philip, we know that we talked about last week, is going to show up on the scene again. Lots of people are going to get baptized. Peter and John are going to come from Jerusalem, from like the national headquarters, are going to come down and just kind of, what's going on here in Samaria? You know, we're going to check it out. Just make sure it's like, it's of the Lord. It's not weird. And then we're going to kind of finish this off about Simon's heart, about can he buy the things of the Lord. And so we see his heart revealed there, and we're going to reveal our hearts a little bit here this morning as well. So let's start reading it in verse 9 of Acts chapter 8. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. When you hear that kind of language, you're talking to someone, well, you know what, I did, you know, like, you just know this is not going to end well. And all the people, both high and low, gave their attention and explained, this man is the divine power known as the, in a capital letters, the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Now, in those early days, there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on, whether it was, you know, astronomy or people that were watching the stars, or honestly, there was exorcisms, there was like healings going on. And I don't know if it was a magic trick, like, hey, I'll pay you a few bucks and you pretend that your leg's broken and then I'll pray for you. And then we'll just, you get up out of the wheelchair and start walking. Like, I don't really know the details of what was going on there, but people were amazed at this performance. And they kind of looked at him and said, wow, that guy is like somebody worth following. And I wonder, like, what kind of magic tricks they were. Were they just done with the human sleight of hand, or was it honestly done demonically? Was it satanic? We would see this in movies. Maybe some of us have interacted with that before, some really hard things. And so what is going on here in that moment? And so if we look at two other verses here to kind of speak into this a little bit, so Matthew 24:24, easy to remember. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were even possible. And 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. We live in a time, even back then was the time, where there are things that are very distracting, that are very opposed or opposite to the things of God. And I think sometimes we often look to people, we look to leaders, and we look at that, look at this, and we follow this and that idea. And people are going to come and go. There's only one great power. There's only one great leader. And his name starts and ends with Jesus. You know, if I could say it like that, I'm having fun with you. But we've got to stay focused on that, because if we focus on a person, this person's going to come and go. People will come and go. Pastor Rob's of the world, unfortunately, I'm not leaving anytime soon. Just don't hear that in my voice. Come and go. Don't follow me. Don't follow Pastor Ben. Don't follow the Pentecostal movement. Follow Jesus. Follow God. People will let you down. I hate to say that. I will frustrate you at times. I will let you down. I will annoy you. And I really apologize already. I'm so sorry. In 6 years, you're still here. Thank goodness. You're awesome. But at some point, it's just reality. It's not intentional. But at some point, that will happen. And why are we here? Are we here because of, I don't know, why would we come here? We come here for one reason. We come here to lift up the name of Jesus. Whether we understand, you know, or agree sometimes, but we come here for that reason. Because if we put our eyes anywhere else, we put our eyes on man, that is going to be a problem. We're going to get let down. We're going to get hurt in the process. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's super, super important. Because God is going to, he's going to trump every counterfeit, every pretender, every false idea. We'll know who God is. We will sense him. Don't put your hope in people. That's terrible to say. Like, don't put your hope in people. Obviously, you know, you got my wife. I shouldn't probably. But, like, God's got to be first. God's to be the center of it. In the midst of all these things that are going on in our world, we think about kind of counterfeit and false. When things happen that go contrary to what we believe to God, do we believe that God is still in control? I'll use two examples right now. I don't usually get political, but I just want to kind of bring up one thought here. When we think about the non-tax status that a church gets, and we don't pay property tax as a nonprofit society, well, we know that the day was going to come, and so the government's pushing on that a little bit. And so what happens one day? We have to actually pay property tax as a church, and we actually lose our non-tax status. What will that look like? And I'm so proud of our terrorist ministerial. When we sit around the table with United and Alliance and Catholic and Anglican and Salvation Army, and the list goes on, and all these pastors in town, they go, if for some reason the government closes one door, God will open another door. Like, that's the thinking in our community. Isn't that wonderful to think about? That if we think for some odd reason that if we lose our nonprofit society, Satan is winning, that is false doctrine, that's false teaching, that is not the truth. God is in control, even though we might look at that and go, whoa, that's not good for us. But God will open another door for us. Maybe something needs to change. Maybe we need to actually get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Well, if I give money here, I get a tax break. Woohoo! You know, what if we lost that one day? Would we still be as generous? Man, that's a deep thought to think about. And I am challenged by that thought. So we all need to be challenged by that thought in Jesus' gentle, loving name, right? Amen. Let's continue. Verse 12. Are we okay? We're still good. Yes, verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah. Isn't that great news? All that stuff is going on. Just like today, all this stuff is going on. But when they preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Oh, thank you, Lord. Every spring and every fall, we do a water baptism here. There's a sign-up sheet over there at the Welcome Center. You haven't been water baptized. You need to sign up. Get water baptized. Verse 13, little ad there for a second. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. They got to go check out, see what's going on, make sure it's legit. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. I find that story so fascinating because, again, we learned this last week. Remember, it's not Philip the apostle that hung out with Jesus. It's Philip who got saved after, the day of Pentecost. It's Philip who saw some miraculous things, and they said, wow, that's interesting. And then Philip just goes out. He's like, I'm going to just preach the gospel. Now, I'm going to be really gentle here, but I don't think Philip had the full gospel, because he didn't baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, just in the name of Jesus, you'll be good. And again, you know, Philip, great guy. Like, he's an elect guy. He got chosen out of all the people to serve him, guy that was full of the Holy Spirit, and he went out and preached the gospel. But I'm not saying he didn't preach the full gospel, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, what happened to the Holy Spirit? Like, is his thinking that the Holy Spirit was only for the day of Pentecost? You know, Acts chapter 1, 2, like, the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes. After that, we only believe in Jesus. We're Jesus only. We don't know about the Holy Spirit. And then the leaders from the national office come in. Like, what's going on here? These people are all saved. They're baptized. They need the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know who baptized you. I don't know your salvation experience. But you need the Holy Spirit. And I don't know who's here this morning, and maybe you're uncomfortable to do this. I want to just make everyone uncomfortable for a second. Like, don't close your eyes. Don't bow your heads. Nobody's looking. Like, just Why not? You need the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you're here this morning, you're like, well, I got saved. I've been baptized yet, but I don't feel like I have God. I don't feel like I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. I am struggling. I'm stressed out. I'm worried. I'm wigging out. I don't know. I can't seem to break my addictions. You need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to help you. Holy Spirit is God. God wants to live inside of you. Who wants Holy Spirit? Amen. Okay, there's a bunch of us. Okay, don't put your hand down. No, keep it up for real. I want to pray for you. So let's just keep our eyes open. It'd be awesome. Amen. So I'm putting both hands up. I want lots of Holy Spirit. We got two Holy Spirit. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that every single person in this room right now will be filled with your Holy Spirit. We'll be set free of our addictions and our hang-ups in Jesus' name. Lord, we want freedom in Jesus' name to rule and reign. We don't want to be a half gospel and half saved, and I'm only 50% and 100%, all in, all of Jesus. Fill us up, fill us again, fill us afresh, fill us anew in Jesus' precious name. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, the service is over. Let's go home now. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. No, man. We're going to keep going here. We're not even halfway done yet. Holy Spirit. We just need him. Desperately need him. And we could say, well, you know, in today's times, it's tough. It's not going super well. Look at terrorists, not even 10% going to church. But you look in Samaria, same thing was happening. Did they wobble and cry and go, oh, the government's in control. They're taking away all of our things. They preached the word of God and people got saved. That's not anything magical. Just preach the word. Watch what God does. Wonderful things will happen. As we go out into our communities, we witness to people. We go around. I just want to spend just a moment on verse 14, because we've got to really understand what's happening in that time so that it really fleshes out in our mind. So verse 14 says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to just kind of check up on that. So again, Peter and John are in Jerusalem. They're one of, you know, the apostles, their disciples. They go out and check in. And so they go to Samaria to find out what's really happening. Are these really true believers? Did they really confess Jesus? Or is it just an act? Almost like Simon the Sorcerer. Are they just pretending? Are they just acting this way? Or is it for real? And so they show up and they look at what's going on there. Because they were questioning that, why would they question that? Because in the north there was a kingdom, and in the south there was a kingdom, and in the middle was Samaria. And these people were like, this was like the people that lived on the other side of the fence or on the other side of the tracks or lived on a certain street. You know, these people were like considered, you know, kind of half-breeds. They lived in Samaria. A king, Assyria, came in 722 BC, came in, ransacked the place, and then left some of their people to live with the Jewish people, and they got together and there was half-breeds. They started getting together, intermarriages, where God was like, we don't want intermarriages, you know, keep it Jews only. And so they thought, this is weird. It's weird. Don't do that. And so those people are bad, they're gross, they're ugly, nobody cares for them. And even so much so that if you were in the northern kingdom and you had to go down to Jerusalem to give your, you know, your annual Passover time, or you wanted to go and go to the temple, like to go through Samaria, we would read Jesus went through Samaria because he was like, I love Samaritans. And most people would go around though. You know how far it is to go around? It's 50 miles. It's 15 hours out of your way. It's not a car, like, you know, or an airplane, go over it. You have to walk 50 miles out of your way to avoid them. And most of them did. They're like, they're so ungodly, they're so gross, we don't even want to go close to them. But you know what happened in that community? The word of God was preached, people got baptized, got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? You know, we think about our country. Our country is so ungodly, so out of control. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to preach the gospel. And people are going to get saved. And people are going to get water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do. Because that's what the word of God is asking us to do. It's not complicated. And we've got to put ourselves, okay, timeline, okay. You're a disciple, you got saved, you know, okay, put yourself in the story. You know, day of Pentecost happens. Whoa, 3,000 people get saved. Oh my gosh, look at the Holy Spirit moving. Churches are starting. So Philip goes out to Samaria and kind of, in a sense, starts a church. He starts explaining the gospel. But the Holy Spirit wasn't there yet. So the disciples, you know, you're probably thinking, Holy Spirit was there. I prayed and baptized, no Holy Spirit. And because we know the story, that's what happens. We get all excited and we jump ahead, right? Because if we went ahead to Acts chapter 10, we just went over one page. Cornelius calls to Peter. Peter goes out to Cornelius' house. And again, we see non-Gentile, non-Christian people, Jewish people, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's confirmation in chapter 10 that the Holy Spirit's for every person. But we're not there yet. Stop. You can't go there yet. You're still in the story. You're like, is the Holy Spirit real? Is it for us too? And we could see so clearly here that yes, it is. Watch what happens. Because the disciples are thinking this way. Let's go back to Luke just for a second, because Luke and Acts are all big, one big book, right? Luke and Acts, one big long story. Let's go back to Luke and just get a little bit of a sense of what the disciples, Jesus 12, his most intimate people, and his most intimate circle, what were they thinking about the Samaritans? In verse 51 of Luke 9, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus, taken up into heaven, they're on their way, Jesus cared so much, or that he resolutely went down to Jerusalem. On his way, because he's in the northern kingdom, he's going down through Samaria, he sent messengers on ahead of them who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. We don't like those people. You know, we as non-Samaritans, we don't like Samaritans. And Samaritans are like, we don't like Jewish people either. This is what's happening here. Very, very clearly. There's tensions. There's this, you know, unsaid kind of like, you just kind of find out who they are. Maybe they got a little badge on or something. When they look a certain way, you just know, don't like that person. Verse 54, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked the Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy these Samaritans? Whoa. How do you think Jesus is going to respond to that thought? Here we go. Verse 55. Jesus turned and gently rebuked them. I can't imagine a rebuke from Jesus face to face. That's wrong. You get your attention, right? Jesus cares about every single human life. And we should as well. There should be no separation. There should be no ideas that we wouldn't care about a person for whatever reason, for whatever thought we have. Like, well, they're wrong. They're out to lunch. The way they act, the decisions they made, God doesn't care about that person. That is crazy talk. That is false thinking and false doctrine. We see the heart of our God. You know, these people were way out to lunch, but God loves them so intimately and deeply. Okay, let's go back to Acts. We've got to finish off the story here. In verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. There's a bit of like, I can understand why he's like, hey, this is cool. If I could do that, that would be maybe profitable. Peter answered him, may your money perish with you, because you thought that you could buy the free gift of God with money. You have no part to share of this ministry because your heart's not right before God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. It's a heart condition. It's a heart issue. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Ooh, that one must have been hard to hear. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But you can't buy. It's not about works to get the free gift of God. Isn't that a great thing? Before you even thought about God, God knew you. He's up in heaven. He's looking down at all humanity, every person, every race, every language. He looks down at us and he goes, you know what? They're caught up in sin, and now I'm not in relationship with them anymore. So I'm going to send my son Jesus before they even turn to me so that they could be in right relationship with me. Even though our hearts, like this individual, are full of bitterness and captive to sin, God sees us and he loves us and he sent his son for us. That's just wonderful news. Again, we couldn't have done anything. It's not about us. He's already done it. He already knew. You know, these babies that are being born, he already died for them as well. He wants to be in right relationship with them as well. So no amount of money is going to buy your salvation, is going to get you to deal with your sins or ask for forgiveness. It's just something that we choose to do. This is what our gospel message is that we repent. We say, God, I am broken. I am a sinner. We confess. We confess to one another. We confess to God. We have to turn from that, to turn from those ways and turn to Jesus. Simon has a heart issue, right? He's going around. He's great. He's look, you know, he's popular. Everyone's loving him. And then he sees something else out there. He goes, wow, look at that. I want some of that action. And I'm willing to pay for it. He probably made lots of money doing what he's doing. He's a good entertainer. Obviously, all Samaria loved him. He was probably making lots of money to be able to buy these kind of things. But God is not a God that cares like that. He cares about his heart. And he says, you got to get your heart right. I wonder, are our hearts right this morning about God? Why are we serving God? Why do we come to church? Why do we worship God? Do we worship him because it's comfortable, because it's something that we do? It's because of, you know, whatever you want to put in there. Or is it because our hearts are so full of joy, are so full of gladness? And God, you took me from the broken sinner that I was, and you put me on a firm foundation. I want to worship you. I want to serve you. I want to be generous to the kingdom. That's the kind of God that we serve. And that's the kind of God that will look deep inside of you and go, where's your heart at this morning? Well, why are you here? And so I'm just going to pray for you. I want to pray that maybe somebody needs to get saved. Like we saw this morning in the story that, you know, they got saved. Simon, he was baptized, but his heart wasn't okay. Still had a heart condition that had to be dealt with. So let's do some heart surgery this morning. So let me just pray for you for a moment. So Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the truth of the Word of God that speaks so clearly to us. It has nothing to do with my words. It has everything to do with the Word of God that has the power to change and convict and bring transformation and bring wholeness and healing and restoration. That's all your business. And so we've presented the word this morning. And so I pray that it would land on good soil this morning, that hearts would be changed in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have in this country to freely worship you. We can come here. Lord, we don't take that for granted. What a blessing that is to be able to just open your word and say the name of Jesus without any worry, without any conviction. Thank you for that opportunity. May we not take that for granted. May we take that to the streets, take that to the byways and the highways, and present it and share it with everyone else. Father, if anyone's here this morning, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of us said we would love the Holy Spirit. There are some here this morning, there's a heavy heart. It's a broken heart. There's a weary heart. There's a heart that's full of addictions. And we see that this morning. And so I pray specifically for that person right now, that they would open up their heart to you. They would confess their desperate need of you, and they would repent of their ways. Would you help them to be free this morning? In Jesus' precious name, amen.